This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very happy Monday. It's Enterprise Biz Bikes. I'm Frida Liu together with
Lily Chai.
Lily Chai, what are we talking about on this cloudy Monday? We talk about hopes and fears. How exciting. We talk about the topic of the current workforce's hopes and fears. And this is in line with an article that came from The Star about how Malaysia needs to reinvent workforce or risk losing competitive edge. Now, before we get in any further, we'd like to hear your thoughts. You can let us know via Twitter. That's at BFM Radio. Or via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So the story around this is that debate continues to rage on about exactly how bad Malaysia has been impacted by the Great Resignation. But it's clear that for better or for worse, the demands and expectations of the current and incoming workforce has changed and employers must adapt accordingly. So later on, we'll be speaking to Nurul Ain Abdul Latif, the Deputy Executive Chair of PwC Malaysia, and they'll be sharing the findings of the their workforce hopes and fears survey. Who knew there was a survey like that? As we take a look at how Malaysia needs to reinvent its workforce. So in order to meet the needs of a rapidly changing world with major developments in technology and to achieve its goal of becoming a high-income economy, HSBC Asia Pacific General Manager and Head of Human Resources David Thomas said it's crucial for the country to reinvent its workforce or risk losing out to more progressive countries. In fact, as borders have reopened, many workers have left for better paid jobs in our countries wealthy southern neighbour Singapore, that businesses are struggling to meet demand. I know of a few, actually, you know, friends, children's friends, right? The nation's ambition is to escape a middle-income trap where it's less affluent than Singapore, but doing better than neighbours like Indonesia and the Philippines. An ageing Malaysia risks stagnating before growing rich, and it needs a vibrant employment scene to avoid that fate. And we face a brain and brawn drain driven by hard to extinguish racial preferences that favour ethnic Malays at the expense of minorities.
Mm-hmm. According to a World Bank report last year that scrutinised Malaysia's progress toward becoming a high-income country, the goal is considered likely to be attained between 2024 and 2028. It quoted that a significant share of the country's most educated and skilled citizens have left the country for lack of opportunities. One-third of immigrants were highly skilled, which is about 20% of college-educated domestic population. Encouraging people to stay will require Malaysia to loosen up some of the rigidities that have hindered the progress of business activity. A plethora of state-backed firms and nominal private companies run by people close to the government have tentacles in almost every sector, which mitigates against competition. State enterprises tend to be used as national piggy banks to finance politically desirable projects that contribute little to the economy's overall dynamism. It is enough to say this is not exactly aspirational for young graduates.
Right. So employers need to take a harder look at what could make employees stay, and this includes incorporating greater flexibility within organizations as employees expect more choice over how, when, and where they work. It also includes supporting the country's work forced to develop skills for the jobs of today and tomorrow. And obviously, the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated trends like digitization and challenged other notions like the ability to work from home. So these advances have opened great opportunities globally, simultaneously as forced organizations to rethink how they manage their workforce.
Right. So David Thomas said organizations in Asia Pacific are also recognizing the need to move away from a singular focus of one or two strengths to cover all strengths of diversity, such as generational, age, disability, and cognitive diversity. He added that we need to look to integrate all the strengths, the intersectionality of diversity, and move away from the targets that focus on only one or two areas. At the same time, it is also vital to look at how we achieve inclusion and get the diversity mix to work to achieve the maximum benefit of all employees. Further, he also added that talent is industry agnostic as they have transferable skills, which are highly sought after, particularly in technology. Also, according to Thomas, Malaysia is a hotbed of diverse talent. Our country's large demographic comprising young talent with a strong grasp of the English language and a wide variety of skills is the foundation of the country's economic growth. Mm.
So, supported by the government's continued investment in HR development, he said the quality of the nation's workforce is superior. He said its unique location within the ASEAN region location, robust infrastructure capabilities, and competitive business landscape have been key reasons for attracting global talent to the country. In fact, the impact of the pandemic and the rapid rise of digitalization has transformed how the labor force works today and the skills companies require. Mm. Thomas said the government, the education sector, and companies in Malaysia must work together to address the challenge and prevent an increase in the skills gap, which creates greater inequality. He also said that corporations need to help their employees develop key skills in transferable areas like creativity and connectivity as they underpin agile ways of working. Other high-tech skills like data analytics, cloud computing, and blockchain will continue to increase in demand, and those who have expertise in these areas in combination with strong transferable skills will be even more employable.
Mm, but we can't talk about this without addressing the worries about the Great Resignation and how it affects employees everywhere, and that includes us too, as Malaysia's economy is also weathering the Great Resignation. Business Today wrote that the talent attraction and retention are top of the mind for employers across Asia, with 7 in 10 bosses saying that they face labour shortage crisis. Clearly, employers are facing difficulties in retaining their staff. And in Hiredly 2022 Work Culture Report, it found that more workers are inclined toward a job that provides them flexibility. More than that, attractive employee work benefits also play a role in retention. Another notable part of the report says that when Hiredly's survey respondents were asked to choose between a positive work culture or a high salary, 80% chose a good culture over high salary. It's quite surprising. 80% is quite high.
A lot.
You found that more employees are looking at work flexibility. When employers have the option to work flexibly, they believe that they are less micromanaged and that the company trusts them more. In fact, a recent Harvard Business School study found that the best way for workers to stay productive is to only spend 1 or 2 days a week in the office.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
So Harley found that medical coverage is also highly valued on the list of benefits that workers look for. The ever-increasing medical costs and pandemic brought to light how important maintaining good health is in preventing chronic diseases like obesity and heart problems. Employers looking to keep their employees could pay attention to providing good medical benefits to employees. For most companies in Malaysia, medical coverage for employees can include a combination of medical insurance for outpatient and inpatient visits, optical and dental coverage, and personal accident insurance coverage. Even clothes are coming into the talent retention equation. Some experts argue that a casual dress code can increase employee productivity. Rather than being distracted by uncomfortable clothing or worrying about their appearance, employees can concentrate their energy on achieving results and taking the performance to the next level. I say the uniform. The uniform. I used to wear a uniform working, right? And I saved so much money because I didn't have to buy clothes. In addition, travel allowances also were marked by Hiredly's respondents as a valuable company benefit as well, such as costs can add up, especially when stuck in our country's traffic. So how else can employers get insights into changing employee needs and actually provide resources and enact policies that not only address these needs, but also provide long-term talent retention? Certainly studies like the World Bank and Hiredly reports help. And you know, what was amazing was that 80% culture is more important than salary, right? So in just a moment, we'll speak to Nurul Ain Abdullah. But just your thoughts, right? I'm just asking because you've just recently graduated, Lily. Like if you look at your course mates, have they remained in Malaysia? Have they left?
Most of them came back to Malaysia. They're looking for jobs, most of them still.
Oh, so?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the most, I think people now, regardless of age, we are looking for financial stability, right? In the wake of the potential recession and looking at the minimum wage, I think everyone is just looking to be financially secure right now. Like the benefits of flexibility, yes, it is important. But if it's not enough to pay and put food on the table, I think that is a very big problem. I don't know if you heard about the report. I saw this yesterday where if an average household wants to eat a nutritious 3 meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they, on average, a month need to spend $1,500 to $2,000 per month in order to eat nutritiously.
Yeah, nutritious meals.
And that is quite, it just shows that the minimum wage might not be enough for an average family.
You can try to grow some vegetables, but you know, that yourself, that's an option. But the other thing as well, right? I mean, I know that you were offered a job and it's a job based in Malaysia, but for a Hong Kong company. And so this is what's happening also, right?
Yeah.
Where you're paid, you know, that kind of in that way, but then you can be based in Malaysia. So that's the future. The talent is leaving in that sense.
Yeah, but I also hear that although flexibilities like that exist, it can be quite lonely for some people to work, especially you don't get to see your colleagues that often. You only see them through the screen. Sometimes it just feels kind of robotic.
Right.
At times, yeah.
Okay, but those are the options available,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Those are options available where the salary is so much more, right? So, I mean, forget boredom. You know, I want the money. I mean, that's the thing,
that
right?
That is true.
So anyway, with that in mind, we'll be taking a look at PwC's Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2022 based on their Global Hopes and Fears Report, a key initiative under their Global New World, New Skills Upskilling Program, to provide some guidance in that regard. So we'll be speaking to the Deputy Executive Chair at PwC Malaysia, Nurul Ain Abdul Latif, after these messages about their findings. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm here in the studio with
Lily Chai.
We're talking about the current workforce's hopes and fears. This came about with a couple of articles, how Malaysia needs to reinvent the workforce or risk losing our competitive edge. This came out in The Star. And interestingly enough, PwC came out with a report. And before I continue, if you have any thoughts around this, do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. So they came out with this interesting report. And Nurul Ain Abdul Latif, the Deputy Executive Chair at PwC Malaysia, will be sharing the findings. It's the PwC's Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2022. So thanks for being with us, Nurul. I know there's a lot to go through, but you know, what was the intention behind PwC conducting this survey, and how was it conducted?
Okay, so the survey was done to explore what was the latest workforce trend, and this includes matters like what motivates employees now with the continuous economic uncertainties. It's also to get their views on upskilling, get their views on what kind of working model works with them now, and you know what flexibility means to them. So that was the main topic of survey, and with the results, it will inspire conversations, especially, you know, with employers in terms of, you know, how do you acquire talent? How do you retain talent more importantly? 2,000 Malaysians were surveyed in March 2022 among 52,000 respondents polled globally across 44 territories. And these are people who are active in the labour market or who are already working.
Okay, so to what extent would you say, Nurul, that Malaysians are affected by the Great Resignation?
We can't be too quick to dismiss the Great Resignation. Everyone's talking about it. So employees are getting more discerning based on the survey. About 17% of the respondents are saying that they are extremely or very likely to switch jobs to a new employer within the next 12 months. Yeah, so it's not a very small statistics. Employees want more out of their jobs, and they will consider if they feel that the company doesn't suit them or the values of the company are not aligned to them. So the pandemic may have caused a bit of a back burner. Yeah, we can, you know, even in our firm, attrition rate has dropped in the last 2-3 years, but it's beginning to pick up, and that's because many of the employees now with the reopening, you know, they have a new resolve to get out and see what the world can offer. Yeah, so it's consistent with what we observe in our profession as well as many of our clients.
Right. And what are the biggest factors driving employee satisfaction presently?
It depends, right? But based on the survey, the top factor is pay, and that is at 69%. And probably it's understandable because of the cost of living increases concerns. This is followed by job fulfillment at 66%. So, you know what, you know, we gather from here is that doing meaningful work matters to employees. It's like a chance for them to develop their skills or to do things which they believe in. So it's heartening to note that 85% of the respondents want to work for organizations which contribute positively to society, right? And this is one of the reasons where employees are getting very vocal in terms of societal issues like, you know, ESG, climate change, and recognizing that, you know, they are in the position to contribute positively to society.
Right. So, as you said, financial compensation currently tops the list as the priority for workers at the moment. Could you shed a little bit more light on how Malaysia's current economy landscape has driven this into the top spot?
You know, as I mentioned just now, there are ongoing concerns about inflation. I mean, we have heard about it in the last few months. And this is not unique to Malaysia, because even globally, it's an issue which everyone faces. So in the second half of 2021, inflation in Malaysia has been rising, and this is based on statistics from the Department of Stats Malaysia, DOSM. But there is not enough evidence to suggest that salaries or wages are increasing at the same pace. I'm not sure whether you're going to get a pay increase. So DOSM has also found that in 2020, the monthly salary and wages received by full-time employee has fallen for the first time in 9 years, right? So this dissatisfaction about financial compensation in circumstances where, you know, everything is getting more expensive, that is one of the trigger points where people are looking out. And unfortunately, people are looking out abroad, right? So that is just a talent sort of outflow for Malaysia. So a 2021 Employment Hero survey indicated that 72% of Malaysians are toying with the idea of working abroad.
Right. Would you say raises and promotions are enough incentive for the current workforce to stay at a company? Why or why not?
It is important based on what the survey have indicated, but unlikely raises and promotions alone will enable the retention of employees. I mean, at the moment, this is an employee's market where, you know, people have the choice to come and go depending on what they want to do, what they want to achieve at work, how much they get paid. So, you know, these two factors need to be complemented with organizational culture and values which is aligned to employees, right? So, you know, as I mentioned just now, employees now, they value meaningful work. So, if you create the culture where employers listen actively to what their employees want and provide them with real opportunities to feel good for themselves, obviously with the financial rewards, I think that company will be able to have better retention rates.
Magic words, listen intently. Nurul Ain Abdul Latif, Deputy Executive Chair, PwC Malaysia. Do stay on the line. We've got more questions to ask you, one of which is hybrid remote working. Is that a factor that could actually help people to retain staff? Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm here together with Lily Chai. Our discussion today, this cloudy Monday, is about, you know, what the employees are looking for. We've been speaking to Nurul Ain Abdul Latif from PwC about their survey, which is based on hopes and fears. It's a global hopes and fears report. And this is a global key initiative under the Global New World New Skills Upskilling Program. So, you know, we were just getting your feedback, Nurul, thanks for staying on the line about, you know, what employees are expected. The other question I would like to ask you, is hybrid or remote working a factor that could be utilised for greater talent attraction and retention here in Malaysia, Nurul?
I love it. Based on the survey, 63% of our respondents say that they would like employers to adopt this hybrid working. To a certain extent, people feel that, you know, we can do it in the last 3 years. So, why correct something which, you know, is working great for everyone? So companies and organizations, they sort of need to adapt to the workforce strategy to be able to accommodate all this consideration, meaning, you know, to engage teams in a virtual manner as well as face-to-face at times, as well as, more importantly, managing productivity. Right? While transitioning back to work, even as the pandemic still continues, it's not ended, right? But you know, we all need to live in that world now.
Mm-hmm. So in an estimation by McKinsey and Company in 2020, automation was said to have the potential to displace up to 25% of hours, or 4.5 million equivalent workers in Malaysia by 2030. Now, after the effects of the pandemic, would you say being replaced by automation is still a primary workforce fear for Malaysians? Why and why not?
So this was also quite surprising. Based on the survey, 31% of Malaysian employees are concerned about the role being replaced. So there are still, you know, quite a big portion of people who are concerned about technology replacing, you know, their work. But this is far below the 57% surveyed last year, where 50% believe that their jobs will be obsolete in the next 5 years, last year, right? So with the labor and skill shortages making the news, you know, in these few months, basically Malaysians are more inclined to believe that the scarcity of skill is a more pressing matter. So they don't think that technology will replace them. But I think the concern now is whether they are ready, whether they have the skill to address technology advancements. So 48% believe that their job requires specialist training, and 32% say that the country lacks people with, you know, the appropriate skill for their type of work.
Nurul, how concerned are Malaysians about the need to both upskill and reskill?
So not as many, as I mentioned just now, are worried about them being replaced by technology. So based on the survey, there are a few statistics, but in short, about, you know, approximately 50% are concerned of the limited capacity to learn, right? About 49% is concerned on the lack of opportunity to work with people who have those skills. And an equivalent percentage is concerned that their employers are not teaching them the relevant skills. So on the other hand, based on the survey, 63% of the respondents are saying that their employers are having strategies to have an internal focus. For example, you know, training or having upskilling programs to address the skill and labor shortages. So, you know, you can always have upskilling program, but I think the message is that, you know, these programs need to be meaningfully designed. You know, don't have programs which are irrelevant to the employees or to what they need to do. Yeah.
Right. So are there certain sectors or demographic groups of Malaysia's workforce that seem to be more affected by the Great Resignation and or job dissatisfaction and unfulfillment?
Yeah, so based on the survey, interestingly, the Gen Z respondents, and, you know, these are the group in the 18 to 25 age group who were reported to be less satisfied with their jobs compared to the other age groups. Why is this so? You know, based on discussions with, you know, a few of my team members, likely this is because they joined the workforce during the pandemic. And, you know, when you join, if it's all virtual, there may be the lack of experience, like, you know, going to work properly into the office. And this may have resulted in them having less connection to their peers or to their colleagues. Right? So they are also very concerned about their prospect for development opportunities given the limited face time with colleagues and their leaders. So employers should consider paying a bit more attention to this age group and to re-engage them. Yeah, now that, you know, we are reopening and offices are, you know, we are all going back to the office.
So 18 and 25 year olds complaining the most. Yes, Lily. Lily, we have to re-engage you. Nurul, what role does environmental, social and governance or ESG compliance play in relation to workforce hopes and fears?
Well, ESG is a hot buzzword now. It's high on almost every organization's agenda, and stakeholders are already questioning how, you know, organizations are walking the talk. So for employees, based on the survey, you know, the expectation of employees is training and guidance. How do we incorporate the aspects of ESG in their day-to-day work, right? For example, minimizing environmental impact of their job, protecting customer data, or managing their well-being, Yeah. So based on the statistics, less than half feel that they have been provided resource or support to help achieve this. Yeah. So employees are also looking at employers on being transparent in terms of what they are doing, which would impact their day-to-day work. And this include, what companies have done for the benefit of society and the environment, how they take care of their people, and how they have been addressing issues like diversity and inclusion. Yeah, so that's the expectation of employees. There is a slight disconnect between, what employees feel are important, which is being transparent, and how they perceive their employer. Yeah, so a lesser percentage feels that the employer are transparent in terms of what they're planning to do. Yeah, so in short, the takeaway is that more support needs to be given to help employees understand what their impact is in managing ESG. I don't think that it's enough just to have policies and to do. They'll just feel that it's a checklist without realizing, hey, why am I doing this? What is the impact I'm giving to the company?
Final question. What are some steps organizations can take to continue battling the great resignation and adjust to the new demands of today's workforce?
This great resignation is not just people resigning, but it's a symptom of a larger change in terms of what people want from work today. So the employees' needs are changing based on what we get from the survey, and organizations need to relook their strategy. So four key takeaway I would think needs to be considered is align. I think organizations have to find ways to align what matters to your people and your business goals, right? One example is in ESG, because organizations are expected to walk the talk, and employees are already thinking of ESG as a value which they appreciate and they want to go for. I think the other takeaway is hybrid. Yeah, I think based on a lot of the surveys, not even just the PwC survey, the hybrid work is here to stay. So organizations would need to think about how, the office needs to evolve to support physical and virtual interaction happening at the same time. Rewards, yeah, we talk about pay being on top of the agenda. So consider how, the organization or the people are being rewarded and recognized. So does it mean that, the remuneration policy needs to be revamped? Or, sometimes it's not just money. Sometimes it's just how you communicate your commitment to talent. Yeah, so that has to be relooked. And finally, upskilling. It's a word very loosely used. It means it's a continuous learning process for your employee. But, these programs need to be tailored. People need to feel that it is relevant. It is useful, instead of just, having a program for the sake of, having the program. Yeah. So those are the four key takeaways, I feel.
Thanks for being with us. Nurul Ain Abdul Latif, Deputy Executive Chair, PwC Malaysia, are sharing the findings from the PwC's Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2022. Anything resonated with you, Lily?
I think flexibility. I think that is something that couldn't be taken away anymore for people to have, like, work-life balance, whatever that's called.
What resonated for me was when she talked about upskilling, right? Mm-hmm. And upskilling, what is it that you are doing to help to upskill? And showing that you care, right? So I mean, upskilling, that's one, sometimes you go to a certain point, what else do I do after this? And so that you're continuing to grow the employees so that they will always feel like they're relevant.
When employees grow, the company grows as well. Right.
So yes, that's our conversation about hopes and fears of the Workforce brought to you by PwC right there. Don't go away. Right after the news at 1 p.m. on the Breakfast Grill, it's a replay. For those of us growing up in KL in the 70s, I didn't. Lee's Frozen Food might be a familiar name when it's time to go grocery shopping. But how has this 60-year-old household name changed since opening its first retail store in Kampong Atap? Managing Director Gareth Tan takes the hot seat to talk about how he plans to expand and modernise his family's business, as well as the challenges that the pandemic and rising costs cost of goods poses. So that's happening after news at 1. And of course, we'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Frida Liu, together with Lily Chai, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.